It's time for our weekly chat with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. We'll look at some of the big stories coming from the UK sight loss charity. Matt, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure as ever.
We are going to talk about the Commonwealth Games a little bit later, but a couple of topics before that, Matt. I'm going to start with behaviour change. This sounds a big project, a big ask, but it's all around sort of attitudes around sight loss.
We've got a very strong legacy as an organisation in providing some very well-regarded sort of services and operations, our reading services, our helpline, our sight loss advice service, welfare, employment, etc. What we're trying to do is build on from those and trying to get actually society to start to sort of work better for blind and partially sighted people without us needing to necessarily sort of step in and provide some of those services which act a bit as a safety net. So, you know, to try and get on people's radar, get on their sort of consciousness is an interesting challenge, actually. So we've got a number of things in the autumn, which will be a really big groundbreaking thing for the RNIB. But separately, we've got some work we're doing on behaviour change and how do you actually get society to shift? How do you nudge society? How do you influence society to start to do things a bit differently and do things better for blind and partially sighted people? So on Wednesday, the 14th of September in the evening, we've got an event we're running at the BMA building in Tavistock Square in London, which is called Unlocking Equality by Changing Behaviours. On the panel, just to titivate your listeners with who's coming, we've got David Hall, who is a guy we're working with, who's the executive director of a group called Behaviour Change, who clearly work in this space. We've got someone called Jenna Tusson, who's a co-founder of Our Streets Now. We've got Nathan Gearing, who was one of our See Differently Awards winners in spring, and he comes from an organisation called Rationale Method. He was the founder of that. We've got Dr. Amy Kavanagh, who's well known on social media as a blind historian, and Joe Loughran, who's a former director of Time to Change. So, you know, really interesting sort of blended panel of people who we'll be engaging with over that evening to talk about this sort of concept and highlight some of the opportunities we've got in following this particular piece of work.
When you talk about behavioural change, then, is that the public in general, their sort of behaviours and attitudes around people with sight loss, kind of, you know, breaking those old stereotypes and sort of trying to bring attitudes into the 21st century?
It is, but it's absolutely that. And it's actually trying to start with some practical areas that people can sort of understand. And actually then you can also inform people of actually how they might do things a bit differently. So, you know, in no particular order, you get things like, how do you engage a blind and partially sighted person who's trying to cross the road? You know, do you grab them and drag them across, or do you ask them what they want? And, you know, just those sorts of things where, you know, you're asking people to understand what it means, you know, what you do and why you do that, and then changing your behavior around a sort of, you know, an episode like that. Not only are you able to sort of do the right thing in that context, but also it makes you think about why you're doing the right thing and what it means to be blind and partially sighted and how you might think about it in a broader sense. So that could be one area. We've got things around, you know, sort of street architecture, pavement architecture. We've got ideas to take an area and actually work with that area to sort of put a better approach to street architecture. So obstacles aren't in the way of blind and partially sighted people, and there's different ways of doing that. And again, thinking about why they're doing that and why that might be a good thing.
Well, we'll be following that one and looking at that in great detail, I'm sure, Matt. Let's take a look at awards now, because you've got some news about some nominations which are in the pipeline.
You know, awards are nice to get, and in some respects, you know, they can be a bit meaningless as well, and people are in vogue and win things. But actually, I think what's really interesting for us is we've just been nominated for a couple of awards where we don't know till the autumn whether we've won or not. But they're in an area where we probably haven't been traditionally been celebrated. And I think it does reflect, as part of our strategy, what we're trying to do in this space. And they're in education. So we've been nominated for two Teach Awards, which this year I've got a real focus on providers like us who stepped up during the pandemic. But one is in the special educational needs category for primary schools, where the curriculum framework for visually impaired kids that we launched in March, and we run all those sessions to train sort of thousands of teachers, that's up for an award, you know, within a primary school context, which is great. And I think it really makes the point that we're absolutely barking up the right tree here in terms of putting in place that framework, training teachers and actually giving them the skills to actually sort of close that education attainment gap in the classroom. I'm really delighted we've been recognised for that. And in the same category, but for secondary education, we've been nominated for our Bookshare capability. And what's that? Well, that has done particularly through COVID in terms of being a resource that could help people, you know, who were a bit more isolated and working, learning remotely. And I say, you know, great to be up for these awards. We might not win, who knows? But I think it just shows that people are recognising, you know, the RNIB's presence and knowledge and insight in these important categories, and showing that actually we've got something to say and we're making a bit of a splash. So, you know, I'm really delighted that it shows our education work is sort of landing well and is being recognised.
A real quick response then to the work, as you say, which is pretty new in terms of the training for the teachers as well. Well, fingers crossed, and we'll come back to you for more on that in the autumn. Going to finish off though with the Commonwealth Games. We can't very well not mention it because we were down there in Birmingham. We were at the Velodrome in London as well, covering that, doing lots of interviews. And you were there as a spectator at some of it as well.
Well, I was lucky enough to be there for 24 hours watching. You were working, Alan, for a week, and I know you got some pleasure out of that, but it was probably a slightly tougher gig than I had. But fabulous atmosphere, very well put on, big crowds. So, you know, I very much enjoyed watching netball and athletics last weekend. But I think, you know, what's great, and I saw this in the athletics programme on Saturday morning, was the integrated para sports programme and how that was absolutely integral to the games. And as we trailed over the last couple of weeks, I think, you know, we've had some great visually impaired athletic performances, and I think just to highlight a few that we might have touched on before, but now we know they've won medals. So I mean, in the para lawn bowls, you know, we've got George Miller from Scotland, who's 75 years old. He was the oldest gold medalist in games history, and how fantastic is that 75 you can still be out there. I think, you know, Neil Fackey, you know, what a great athlete he is, and picking up a gold and silver medal in the tandem cycling. We had Aileen McGlynn with the silver and bronze, and then I think what we've talked about before, you know, we both enjoyed the athletics, and Zach Shaw coming home with a silver in 100 metres. And my final ones, I've got a big soft spot for Stephen, was Stephen Clegg getting a silver in the pool, where for a moment I thought he was going to get gold. And a you know, nice chat with Stephen before the games. And I know his preparations were interrupted by, I think, a bit of COVID and some other challenges. So I'm sure he'll be delighted with a silver. But, you know, great to see across the piece, you know, so many visually impaired athletes doing so well. And it was great, as I say, for, you know, the fully integrated programme across all the events, just to be now part of the furniture, which is fantastic. So, yeah, really enjoyed it. And I can't believe it's over, actually. We now have a bit of a gap in our lives, don't we? We're not watching Commonwealth events. We'll need something else to fill the time. But, yeah, really good weekend, Alan. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. We spoke with quite a lot of people down, even Chloe and Judith McComb as well, the Northern Irish triathletes, of course, Chloe meddling there too. But I think for me, when I spoke with Zach Shaw after he won the silver, and, you know, we talked a lot about the inclusiveness of the games. And he said, you know, I think when he was doing one of the races, he said, you know, there's three para races going on in events here and one kind of able-bodied or mainstream event. He said there's 30,000 people in that stadium and they're cheering everyone, and the atmosphere was electric. I think that kind of brought home the whole inclusivity.
Yeah, your faith in human nature is restored when you see, as you say, 30,000 people in the Commonwealth Games Athletic Stadium cheering on all the participants, you know, in any event from any country. And I think, you know, nation should pat itself on the back a little bit sometimes that we do turn up for things like this, and we are, I think, genuinely very inclusive and very appreciative of all athletes and all comers. And I think that's a side of the country we should take pride in sometimes that we hide away from. But it was, as you say, really empowering to see. And I'm, you know, delighted someone like Zach Shaw was also making that point to you at the event.
Yeah, well done to Birmingham. Now, if you'd like any information on the items we've been discussing, or you'd like to look at some of the services, advice or support from RNIB, or you know someone who may benefit from it, then please do get in touch with us. Go to the website, rnib.org.uk. The helpline is there on 0303 123 9999. You can even use your Amazon Echo device to ask Lady A to call RNIB's helpline. Matt will be back with us once again in next week. Or are you on holiday next week?
Next week. So 2 weeks for me, Alan. There'll be someone else stepping into my shoes next week. So I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Have a great holiday, Matt, and thank you for joining us once again on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure. Thanks, Alan.